Therefore, whether it's not demerit, then you don't have this entanglement. Or you go, just go on sankirtan, you know. Can live, you can be married, you know. Live in the temple, you know. But you go out in the group, you know, the whole week, you know. And she goes out the whole week. On the weekend you meet. You give all your collection, you give to the temple. No problem.
Sounds good on paper.
Huh? Sounds good on paper. That's cool. No, it sounds also good in practice. It works. Mm-hmm. Only problem is when it comes so long, when you want to have kids, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Then you have to go outside, you know. And you cannot live in the temple anymore. Mm-hmm. Then the problem starts. Right? And you have to collect, you know. Like, we see so many good sankirtan devotees now, movement, you know, they became married and have 3, 4, 5 kids now, you know. And can forget book distribution. Just have to collect, you know, like work like an ass, you know, just to maintain your family. Right? Problem. But when he's not too much on the false ego and puffed up, you know, at least can go out once in a week, a few hours, and everybody can do. Therefore, think first, not only once or twice, in order to become married. Think 10 times about it. Sometimes it sounds nice, you know, it sounds very attractive, you know, things, yeah, I have to do it, you know, it's maybe not so bad, you know. But then the more you actually think about it, you know, then you see, you know, it's actually it's not worth. My philosophy is, you know, better to struggle as a brahmachari than struggle as a grihastha. Starts always very innocent, you know. Mm-hmm. At the beginning you think, yeah, you are the, how to say, the incarnated, you know, holy pair, you know. United again, eternally united, you know. Like some honeymoon, you know. The next half year or 2 years, enjoy it like anything. They fall more and more, then become more and more attached, you know, to her. You know, then we give her the first finger, you know, then the second, you know, then the whole hand, and then everything, you know. Then you are in it, you know. And you are no more in control, you know, finish control. Then you're just like a dog, you know. Just become servant of the family. Think Chanakya Pandit, you know. Woman's heart, you know, it's like a razor's blade, you know. There are many defects, you know, many defects in woman's heart, you know. there's a whole list of Chanakya Pandit, you know. It's hidden razor's blade, you know. You don't see it, you know. But she will cut you in small pieces, you know. Makes you very humble and very nice, you know. Asura. The race is glad with it. Right?
So what do you feel is most important for someone to remain in Brahmacharya?
Stay in the mission. Stay on Sankirtan. Go always on traveling. Don't stay in the temple. And always chant Hare Krishna. Don't stop it. Don't speculate. That's the first rule. Don't speculate. Don't look on the side, you know. Or in the back, you know. In German, we say, you know, we have to put on the... We müssen die Scheukappen anziehen. Scheuklappen, you know. The horse, you know, has like that. Look like that. You cannot look on the side, you know. And you have to be very determined, you know, to stay Brahmacharya. Determination you get, you know, by seeing your spiritual master determined, you know. Fixing your mind on the spiritual master's lotus feet. Then you can become determined. Like Prabhupada said, same thing as when you're determined, you know, to certain vows, you know, follow the four equality principles, to fast an ekadasi, don't eat beans and grains, or even fast and chamasmi. And even when somebody puts you a very nice feast before your nose, you know, you don't become attracted. Because why? Because you took the vow. No, I don't do it. I don't eat. Therefore, this vow gives you the strength, you know, to don't become attached. So in the same way, when you take the vow, when you become initiated by the spiritual master, you make a vow, don't follow the four equalistic principles. So when you actually become determined in it, that you don't break it, you know, then this vow gives you a power, the strength to do it. Right. Become strong like that. But soon you somehow become a little lazy, you know. I think you are a very cold father, you know. Can keep more company with fire, you know. No problem. Then you will melt, you know. You cannot think I'm a deep frozen butter, you know. Prabhupada said, butter is good, you know. Man is like butter. Woman is like fire. So, butter is good, fire is good, combination bad. Understand?
Yeah.
Combination is bad. Because what's happened when the butter and fire comes together, you know? Butter doesn't exist anymore. It melts away. I have a Chanakya Pandit book here. Yes. Can read a little. Nice slogan to do. Awesome. Chanakya slogan.
I don't know about that.
You have a book?
I know.
Niti Shastri, yeah. Huh?
I know.
Yeah? Can you send you one in German? I have one in German. I have also a copy in English, but I have to make copies. I have another in English. You can also read Bhagavatam, you know, there you also see the qualities of women. You see, realize what's happening, you know. Kashyapa Muni had nice realization. Right? Third canto, I think.
Fourth canto.
Not third?
That's third canto. Fourth canto is a lot of
part of that. And the fifth canto, very nice. The forest of enjoyment.
Sixth canto, part two.
So you know it. Nice, it is Bhagavatam. The heavy cantos. They call it the heavy cantos. That's what the fifth canto is called, the heavy canto. Yeah. Yeah, either you get the realization and hear of Bhagavatam, you know, or you have to get your own realization. But later on you will understand the Bhagavatam, you will say, yes, Bhagavatam is right. Then you also have the realization. So in this way, both become first class. Any other question?
Well, what to explain is true.
But it's also for the man.
Also true.
And the man, there's also qualities for the man. Bad.
Of course, they would like doing that also. And not only that, your Prabhupada is also a
good
husband.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of ways we have to teach her.
Yeah. And? That's all. Okay, thank you. Other questions?
You said before, a lot of Vaishnava Bharat's going on. So, if you're committing, if you're always committing aparad, and say you're not aware, because there's so much nonsense, you're not aware of your past to the devotees, what do you do? If the devotees are not going to tell you anything, what do you do? I mean, if the devotee just sees your offense, even if he doesn't see it, but it's considered an offense, and it's there, it's a stain in your devotional life.
When you are Kali Yuga, you know, when you do it ignorantly or not consciously so much, you know, it's not so much karma. Especially when you're young bhakta, you know. Just go on, you know, this is a book. Everything becomes clarified. You know. Read Prabhupada's books, then your intelligence becomes more sharpened. Then you know what is what.
I get a question. Sometimes it's accused a weakness in our movement is people will, or not just our movement, but religion in general or any organization, you know, people will sometimes hide behind the organization not to, you know, like look at themselves or be humble or something. You know, like at one point, you know, I can understand the point. It's, you know, you're doing a difficult service. It's very important to Srila Prabhupada and very important to welfare of the world in general. And sometimes fanaticism will be there. But, you know, sometimes, you know, where do you draw the line?
Where do you draw the line? Outside? But the world is what? Outside?
Well, no, you know, inside.
Huh? Inside or outside?
Anywhere. You know, devotion for yourself.
The line is to follow the Four Equality Principles, chant 16 rounds, to perform devotional service, you know, inside or outside the temple, wherever they are. You know, and give at least, you know, some percentage to the temple.
Yeah, but someone could still do that without actually sort of hide behind the external. So. Because ultimately it's a process of purifying the internal.
Krishna knows in the endless.
So how do we guard against that? Because we want to know that too. We don't want to say
Krishna knows in the endless.
Yeah.
He's in the heart of everyone. You know? We don't have to, I would say, criticize, you know, he's in my, he's this, that, you know. That's not our business.
Well, how far
because
ourselves?
We speak about that, you know, it's only that we, that the ones who are here, that they become determined, you know. Psalms fall in no? I'm saying don't think, you know, that now it's authorized, no. It's an authorized way to also become Christian conscious, you know, to go out, living outside of the movement, you know, and go to university again, you know, and perform a karmic job, you know. Or this and that, you know. It's also Krishna consciousness, you know. Especially when you're a Sankhita devotee, you know. You know the highest thing, you know. But then you give it up and go do something else, you know. That's especially when you leave, you know, practically, you know, do something else, you know. That's practically more or less a downfall. But when you are from outside, you know, begin, you know, and then become more and more attracted to the inside, you know. Or become more purified internally and externally. Then that's Krishna consciousness. Know what I mean? No? But it's not the goal of the Sankhita movement, you know, just be 5 years, 10 years or whatever, even 15 years Sankhita devotee, you know, give it up, you know, become married and become a grihastha, live outside and do whatever you can do. It's not the goal. Prabhupada was not starting in that way. And anyway, we cannot take Prabhupada in this way as an example, because Prabhupada, he was grown up in the Vedic culture, he was always Krishna conscious, his eternal liberated soul, Paramahamsa, from the beginning, eternally liberated. And he gave an example, you know, how one actually becomes detached, you know. But he went also through a lot of struggle, you know, as a grihastha, and made so much hindrance, you know, for his mission, you know. And he actually in one lecture he said, you know, actually when I met my spiritual master in 1922, I was married, I was grihastha, and had my family, had already one kid, one son. But I actually shouldn't join him. He actually regretted and said, actually should join the middle. Remember, class? I should join the middle, you know. But unfortunately I left, you know, because I thought I have responsibility to my family. And so we should understand, you know, in which situation Prabhupada was. Prabhupada, no, he was eternal liberated soul, but he was in the follower of the Vedic culture. He was an extreme Orthodox Vaishnava family, you know, and aristocratic family, you know. And there, you know, to leave the family, you know, prematurely, don't take responsibility, you know, would be completely chaotic, you know. It's practically like suicide, you know. Therefore, he only gave up the family when Krishna was arranging for it. He was giving it up. And she was selling his Bhagavatam, you know, for tea biscuits. Very completely ridiculous, you know. Nice grihastha life, huh? Chai. Then he left immediately, you know, and went to Jhansi and then to Vrindavan. So Prabhupada didn't make it opposite, you know. He didn't was a preacher first and then he became grihastha. He was brahmachari trained by his father. He learned everything by his father. He said, only the preaching I learned by my spiritual master. How to distribute print and distribute books, that I learned from my spiritual master. That you cannot learn from your father. Father can learn you how to play mridanga, how to cook, and how to become married, you know, and everything. That's the father's business. So Prabhupada, he went through these things, and then he became he showed how he becomes detached and become a preacher. You know. Not that he become a preacher first, and then he become grihastha and forget the whole thing. It was not what Prabhupada teaches. Therefore, we should follow follow not how nice grihastha life is, how Prabhupada shown. Actually, Prabhupada was not enjoying grihastha life one moment. He showed actually how heavy it is. how a hindrance it is actually for spreading Krishna consciousness. And it's a hindrance. If only one very good example is Bhakti no Thakur. But he was very special. Because all these were pure Vaishnavas, you know, also his wife, all his kids, you know, they were all pure Vaishnavas. He trained them up in the right way. And that's also another way how Krishna teached Acharya. But these examples are very rare. We should not try to imitate them. We should try to follow the footsteps of renunciation, how renounced actually they all were. Although they had family, they were completely renounced and were completely fixed on Krishna, on the mission of their spiritual master. In the end, they actually gave it up.
How about the Indians of today? They seem to get trades and jobs and what they say they worship Krishna. So how do we understand where they're at?
The Indians today?
Yeah.
They left.
I mean, of course they have a bigger problem, but I don't understand.
But they say, I know Krishna.
Unless it's so sincere, they come to the temple often there, you know.
If Prabhupada said, you should,
are they
should not expect much from the Indians, Prabhupada said. You can make them life members, and not, otherwise don't expect much from them. You have to make the local people devotees, not the Indians. Forget it. They never become devotees. For the mission, you know. They're not interested. They're just interested in family life, you know. That's Krishna consciousness for them. Because in the 11th canto it's described, you know, somebody is religious in non-Kali Yuga when he can maintain a family. It's called first class religious. So that's the dharma, you know. Like the famous story of Prabhupada, you know. Prabhupada, one life member came and he was introducing all his family members. And then Prabhupada, so in the end he said, you know, that's my sex life. You know. Here am I. You know this story. I was just reading now the four part of Prabhupada Lilamrita. There is described how in the beginning they were started in Africa to preach, you know. But they only preached to the Indians, Brahmananda and so, Brahmananda Swami to this time. They thought it's not possible to preach to the blacks, you know, to the, how we say, to the
local
people, you know. But then Prabhupada came, you know, and then he immediately started, you know, to preach to the blacks, you know, to the local people. And immediately so much response came. Immediately. Very nicely described in the last chapter of the fourth part. In the end, you know, it's very nice purport also from Bhaktisaru Maharaj about the mission then. You should read it.
I read it.
Just recently?
No. There was a funny story in that where Prabhupada was giving a talk to some of the for the natives, and he saw some kid wearing his kurta, and he fell down and get it.
I think it's another one. It's not in this. They didn't write that. We get another part. Huh?
Well,
not in, but maybe not the first time. It was many times then. So we should not fix so much on the Indians. When they come, that's all right. No. But don't count on them so much, you know, for the mission. If reach the Americans. So many Americans out here, you know, they never saw a book. Never got a book. They're all devoted. How you will give them a book? Yes? Other question? Comment? And the last important question or comment should come up now.
When are you coming back?
The $10 million question or challenge.
You said earlier being a little puffed up was okay.
Being a little fruity from puffed up is okay.
So how do we know how much is a little or maybe a little too much?
I give out the dance where you will realize when you're out on the street. Your result you will see. Cannot become too much puffed up, otherwise you don't bring out the books anymore. The books don't go out anymore. Right?
But ultimately we cannot be puffed up at all, eh? It's better not to be puffed up at all.
Sure, that's the best. But you know it's very hard. Anyway. And we follow real nicely the process, it will happen. All the good qualities they will develop in the devotee. I see myself and other devotees, you know, who go out many years, you know. You change a little your mentality, you know, become a little softer. You should hear classes for me, you know, about 7-10 years ago, you know, 5 years ago, you know. I'm real soft now, you know. I'm a real gentleman. Only very few know that. They can confirm it. Actually, that's very soft. I've also seen Hari Namananda, you know, he was sometimes very heavy, you know. And sometimes he looks like he's very puffed up, you know, outside, you know. But actually because not many devotees actually know actually what is real humbleness, real humility in this movement. Not many know that. So therefore they don't understand, you know, how Hari Namananda can go on and distribute still thousands of books every week. So do you want to hear about real humbleness?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can write it down. So real humility actually means you surrender fully on the mission of your spiritual master and go out every day and distribute books. Mm-hmm. That's real humility. Yeah. And as soon you give up, even when you're so-called humble, you know, outside, you know, that's not humility. That's actually you're proud. And you're proud of, then you can, that's another kind of proud, you know, you can be proud on your humility. And that's another proud. That's Krishna also don't like. So we should be proud on Prabhupada and Prabhupada's books and the movement and the mission he gave us, you know, and go out and surrender to this instruction of the spiritual master. And when we always do that, that's humility. Even when you're outsidely proud, you know, maybe some a little arrogant or tough, you know, that doesn't mean nothing, you know. It's just that you only should, that's your fault, you know, when you think, you know, that's his fault, you know. That means you are puffed up, you are proud, you are on the false ego. You cannot tolerate it, you're actually envious on other, you know. Therefore we see this fault in him. Otherwise we become inspired of this person, you know, and we try also to do something wonderful for the mission. Then you also become humble. Mm-hmm. And so in this way you can become purified. That's humility. Not humility that you always be, you know.
Oh yeah, probably.
Go to everybody, child, bro, please accept my humble babies. Artificial. Simple answer, huh?
Of course, I could end and ask a question now. Why is that real humility brought every day?
Huh?
Why is that real humility brought every day? Why is that humility?
To go out every day?
Yeah.
Because you surrender to the mission of your spiritual master and the instruction. Yeah? Spiritual master tells you something and you do it. That's humility. When you don't do it, then that's proud, that's false ego. Like there's also a story, you can also be attached to how renounced you are. There's also a story in the 10th canto about Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra, as you know, went to Krishna and he came home. Then he found out, he got the whole palace, you know, and his wife came, and whole opulence, you know. Krishna gave him whole opulence, you know. And then that Acharya Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he comments, you know, that actually Krishna delivered him of his last attachment. His last attachment was renunciation. He gave him completely the opposite, you know. Before he could not even have some rice, you know, to offer to Krishna. He had to beg for it. His wife had to beg for it. No, he himself had to beg for it to bring it to Krishna. Yeah, not even a little rice, you know, cheap rice. He was so renounced. But Krishna gave him completely the opposite. A lot of opulence. But because he was sincere, you know, he could appreciate his opulences and use it in Krishna service. That didn't become attached. There was also one devotee, Lord Chaitanya. Spiritual master of Gadadhar. Huh?
Vidyanidhi
Pundarik? Yeah, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. From outside he was actually like a big materialist, you know. He was a very nice silk clothes, you know, and he was sitting on a sofa, had fan, you know, and all kinds of opulences around him, different, furniture. So much opulence, you know. So then once Gadadhar, from one of his friends, he became inspired to go and see him, you know. So everybody knows Gadadhar was very renounced. He was very, very much renounced sannyasi. And so when he saw the behavior of Pundarik Vidyanidhi and his opulences, was lying there, you know, eating, enjoying like anything, you know. A very nice clothes on, you know, garments. So then he thought, you know, how can he be a pure Vaishnava? And then his friend told him, now you recite verse from the Bhagavatam, you know, from the 10th canto. He told him a certain sloka. So then he began to read, you know. And then immediately after Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard the description, you know, he began to dance, you know, and to laugh and to cry. And he felt unconscious on the floor, you know, and rolled himself on the floor, you know, on all the different tables and furniture, you know, the flying in the air, you know, break, you know, he broke them all. So in this way he could realize that he was actually a very advanced devotee. So then later on he got the permission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took initiation from him. So from outside, I would also think, you know, he's puffed up, materialist, you know, very attached to sense gratification. You know. But you have to see the internal thing, you know, he was always absorbed in Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Great devotee. If it's verse, Vaishnavya Kriyamuda Vigena Puchaya, it's very difficult to actually understand Vaishnava. His behavior, his thinking, his activity. It's very difficult to diagnose this from outside. Srila Prabhupada, Transcendental Book Distribution, Ghee!
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to thank Raheem Sudha for coming here, and we hope he was returned soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada, Ghee!
Yeah.
You want to get rid of me?
That's right.
I'm still here, you know? Not so easy, you know, I stay 2 days long.
No, in Annalen. You know, the people stay in the movement, you know, become preachers, you know. Not that they have something against them, but somebody has to make propaganda for somebody to stay. And there's so much become like a church, a Christianity. Even worse. Right?
You want to go check it out.
That was a little fanatical, you know. Don't take me wrong. I hope you understand me right.
Is it too late?
Huh?
Is it too late? Is it still
open? I made a decision. I'm not going to deal with it.
Come on. Don't speak like that now.
Huh?
And then after I turn my back, you know, then, Jai, now he left, you know. Go, go, go! Hey, Mato, come here, go! Huh?
Can't go together on the stage, you know, huh? What do you think? Get a great team, you know?
Yeah, it's good when you make the decision. But that's positive alternative decision, isn't it? To avoid it.
Preach.
In which way?
Whatever has to be done.
Okay. Tomorrow you come with us to New York? Santikam? Traveling?
Winston.
Krishna. Don't.
I'm serious.
Huh? Yeah, I know.
I've learned my lesson now.
I know you're a serious devotee. No? Well, the problem is, you know, when you begin to think about it, you know, it becomes more and more worse. You become more and more attached. And in the beginning, it sounds very nice, Maya, it's very clever. You know. But when you're really intelligent, you know, you give it up.
That's it.
You put it down. I was just waiting for that instruction. I'm serious.
You're standing up there?
But you have to.
I just wanted to.
That was the discord actually for you, know. No, don't blame me, you know, when you after that fallen Maya, you know, because to tell you the leaders, the movement, that discord actually, you know.
You were just an instrument.
You always can do it, you know.
You said you can think 10 times before you.
But you can always do it. But think 10 times about it, you know.
I don't want to do it.
So nobody, no.
I don't want to do it, and I'm actually going to avoid it. I'm going to try to just think pronunciation. I'm not going to put on sap because that's like a joke. I go like this. I'm just going to just preach.
Put a sap on it.
I don't want to do it.
It can bellow yellow.
Bellow yellow.
No, that yellow.
Mellow yellow.
No, bare yellow. Sounds almost the same. Bare yellow, not mellow yellow.
Not mellow yellow.
Mellow yellow is not good.
Bare yellow.
Mellow yellow.
That's it.
Song out of it.
Thought about
it. You went for a while. You read that in the room.
It was nonsense.
Yeah.
He was the sky.
No, my realization is I was distributing books on.
And also, when I was a Kami, I thought, you know, he's a great saint. Donovan, you
know.
I was completely fan of him.
Who?
I saw Francisco from Assisi, you know, the film, you know. He was singing the soundtrack for it, you know.
He was my favorite singer.
Huh?
I was going to be a Franciscan priest before I became devotee.
Yeah? Yeah, he was singing, you know, Donovan was singing the.
Saint Francis.
You know,
The soundtrack.
Moon. Yeah. I thought, you know, he's a great saint, you know, great yogi. Great sadhu. But then I was really proud of that conversation with him, you know.
Ignorant.
Yeah, I'm glad when you can do it.
But how do we stay?
But I'm sad when I hear that didn't work out and then something else and doing design even worse than Grihastha. So you have to really think 10 times about it, you know, for the good, you know, Krishna consciousness.
It's bad.
Yeah, you're so young, you know. At least go 10 years in Sankirtan, then you can think about that. But then you become so much purified, then it's no more thinking about that. You forgot the whole thing. Huh?
Yeah.
I leave, you know, 10 days after.
I left, you know.